If you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, John chapter number 10. John chapter 10 will be our text today. And if you not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Please feel free to pick it up and to use it. And if somebody notices you don't or you need some help finding the passage, somebody can help you. I want everybody to have a Bible today to be able to read God's Word, be able to follow along, and to see what God is saying to you this morning. I'm so glad that you can come to church and know that God speaks to you, and know that God has something for you, and know that God will touch your heart. And I've prayed and asked the Spirit of God if He would do so, and if He would speak to our hearts this morning. Find, if you would, verse number 7. We'll begin our text today. John 10, verse 7. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily," or those words mean "truly, truly," "I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This passage is one in the series of a text that we are doing, and we started a few weeks ago, on the I Ams of Jesus Christ. We went to the passage in Exodus where Moses was standing at the burning bush, and God revealed Himself, and the Lord Jesus revealed Himself as the great I Am. If you were to go back to John chapter 8, verse number 58, you will see that Jesus makes the connection here when Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Sometimes people use the word "was" to refer to Jesus. He was this, he was that. I think the old country preacher had it best when he said, "Jesus Christ is not a was-um, he's an ism." What does that mean? That means Jesus Christ is eternal God. No beginning, no end. He is God. He became a man, and he had a beginning there as far as being born through Mary as a human, but he had no beginning as God. He is the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have embarked on a series of studies looking at the I Ams and the references that he made. Prior to this, we spoke from John chapter 6, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." A couple of weeks ago, we went to John chapter 9. If you look at verse number 5, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And we've been taking these I Am references to show us who Jesus is, what He can do for us, and what we can become in Him. And really, we've been taking the thought of the I Ams and focusing on the present tense of the Lord Jesus, His presence, His presentness. We titled this series, and we have a little quib that we do, and it's actually not a quib, it's a truth, entitled, "I Have Jesus for This." And we took our five fingers and we said, "I have Jesus for this." And I find myself using that all the time. When I run into a problem, I run into a difficulty, I run into a shortcoming, I run into some kind of fear or some kind of confusion in my life or some kind of need for direction, I find myself repeating to me, "I have Jesus for this." And by the way, it's awesome to know that I have Jesus Christ and the security that He is in our lives. I do not know what you do if you do not know Jesus. I do not know where you turn. I do not know where you get comfort, hope, peace, joy. I don't understand where you come up with definitions to words and terms. I do not understand how you do not look at the world and not be scared out of your mind. I do not understand how you don't look at certain things and wonder why. It's so good to be able to look at everything in life and come back to Jesus Christ. He anchors us. The text I read to you today from the 10th chapter, Jesus once again takes a very simple object and refers Himself to this object. We read it twice in the verses and you found them to be true. He just says in verse number 7 and He says again in verse number 9, "I am the door. And so I want to preach a message today entitled, I Am the Door, on the I Ams of Christ. Our text is the explanation or the illumination of the first five verses of John chapter 10. No way you're going to be able to come to service today and not think. And so I would like everybody to take your right hand and raise it in the air if you would, please. Touch the top of your head. Turn your thinking button on. Scratch yourself. Okay? You're thinking. You got to think. No way. No way you'll survive the message. You'll get drowned. You'll be buried. You won't even know where you are if you don't stop and think. Jesus in John 10, in the verse of text I read to you, is giving an answer to the first five verses where he gives a parable. A parable was a unique way that Jesus would teach. A parable is a story that has disguised and concealed truth in it. Not everybody gleans the truth from it. Usually, it would be something that could be related to on an earthly or physical presence, and then it would have wonderful spiritual application. Jesus spoke in parables all the time, most of the time to confront the Pharisees, so they would be blind and wouldn't understand, but then there would be rich and deep truth that could be taken out of that. So, I am the bread, a symbol, and we talked about that. I am the light of the world, and a symbol, we talked about that. I am the door was the answer to this parable. Now, John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, come on the platform of John chapter number 9. And if you remember a few weeks ago in John chapter number 9, when we talked about Jesus being the light of the world, the light of the world was in a reference to that festival they were having, and they had the whole place lit, and they blew all those lights out, and it was dark, and Jesus was referring to how that the people were in darkness, and just like those lights provided light for the whole city, he provides and is the light for the whole world. And if you remember, it wasn't long after in John chapter 9 that Jesus is given that statement, he finds a blind man. And he heals the blind man from his blindness, and then he also heals the blind man spiritually at the end of chapter 9. Now, go to chapter number 9, verse number 35. Just look over a couple of verses there. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That would be the blind man. And when he had found him. And by the way, let me tell you something. Jesus searches for all men. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, I promise you that he's searching for you. You may not like religion. You may not like church. You may not like the Bible. You may not even feel religious. You may not even have a desire for righteousness. But God loves mankind. And God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so Jesus is searching for you. And Jesus finds ways to reveal himself to you. No man just finds God. God searches us first. And so Jesus, at the woman at the well, searched for her, the Ethiopian eunuch, he found him. And so here, in John chapter 9, they cast this blind man out of the religious wing of the party. And then Jesus finds him. In verse 35, he says, and said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him when Jesus opened his eyes, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. By the way, if you would simply repeat those three words in faith, believing, Lord, I believe, you can know eternal life. And so here the man is, and he's been healed from his blindness, and because he had a testimony that Jesus did it, they cast him out of the temple. Jesus hears that he's cast out and been shunned. Jesus finds him and says, now listen, son, do you believe on the Son of God? Lord, who is the Son of God? And Jesus says, you've seen him, and now he's talking with you. And with his eyes focused on Jesus, he says, Lord, I believe. Look what happened to the man. In verse number 38, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Immediately, he was brought into the family of God and could worship the Lord Jesus. Now, after that, verses 39, 40, and 41, you've got these Pharisees there. Verse number 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with them heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. What he was saying is, yes, you're spiritually blind and you're in a position of lostness and you think you can see, but really you're blind. You think you can see through your self-righteousness. You think you can see through your law. You think you can see through your good deeds. And you think, well, I've got spiritual sight. And Jesus says, no, you're spiritually blind. Now, if you've been thinking with me that far and you're with me, say amen. Okay, good. Now, in the Bible, chapters and verses are not inspired. So Jesus, when he was writing the Bible, didn't say, okay, John, now write chapter number 10. The men that illustrated the Bible and wrote the Bible down, and they put that in later. So John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, come right on the heels of that same conversation Jesus is having with those Pharisees. It's the same moment. Are we blind? Yes, you're blind. Verse number 1 of chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, in your Bible, if you have red lettering in your Bible, that says where Jesus has finished speaking. Now, verse number 6 is what John writes. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood what, class? Not. What things were which he spake unto them. All right. Now, look this way. The first text I read you, Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door is the answer to the parable of verses of those first five verses that Jesus gave them. What is a parable? Parable was something they would physically and earthly understand that had spiritual meaning. It comes right on the heels of this conversation with these religious Pharisees who thought themselves that they were spiritually, they had spiritual sight, but it was all vested in them. And Jesus says, any righteousness that's vested in you is blind. You don't understand the truth. Then he goes into this illustration. Now, it wasn't the illustration they didn't understand. It was the spiritual meaning they didn't understand. They full well knew what a shepherd and sheep. Now, you in South Florida may not know what a shepherd and sheep is, but they knew what a shepherd and a sheep and what a sheepfold was. They knew the story. Let me tell you about a sheepfold. A sheepfold was a pen. You could call this room kind of like a sheepfold. And there would be stone or there would be thorns, there would be thistles, something that was uncomfortable that would keep the sheep in at night. It did not have a roof on it. It was open-aired and it just had walls and it had a narrow entryway. And what would happen is the shepherd would actually act as the door. And so in this little narrow way, the shepherd would sleep in the narrow way. He would sleep in the entrance, and that way no animal could come in, no sheep could go out, and the shepherd acted as the door. It was tradition, it was known, they would take their times, and so that's how the sheep were secured. Now, they also understood that because it was open-aired and there was no ceiling on it, if a thief or a robber wanted to come in and steal the sheep, they couldn't come through the door because the shepherd is there. So they would climb over the walls, over that, and they would come in and they would kill or murder or kill or steal and get a sheep. That was the only way they could do it. Now, the Pharisees are here and they're saying, okay, we understand, but what in the world does a shepherd and a sheep and a sheepfold have to do with what we're going through right now? Just because they didn't understand, Jesus full well understood what he was doing. Let me define some terms for you so you can understand what Jesus is trying to tell them. Remember, don't forget, this is on the platform of that blind man being cast out of the temple and out of the synagogue, which literally was a death sentence, because he gave glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, blind from his birth, healed, gives glory to God, cast out of the synagogue. Jesus now gives them this illustration. What is the sheepfold in the illustration? Well, the sheepfold was the nation of Israel. They are the sheep. Who is the shepherd? Look at verse number 10. Jesus says, or verse number 11, I am the good what? Shepherd. So Jesus sees the nation of Israel. They're the sheep. He himself is the shepherd. He's in the fold, in the confinement that they were in was this prison of Judaism. It was their legality. It was their formalism. It was their self-righteousness. It was that ritualism. And so Jesus says, now I've got this sheep fold. And it's a constriction of all this religion and this Judaism. You're the sheep, the nation of Israel. I'm the shepherd, but the thieves and the robbers, they were the Pharisees. They were the religious leaders that denied the Lord Jesus. They were the religious leaders that would not let the people receive Christ. They were the religious leaders that when the people made a move toward receiving the Lord, they would get in the way and cause problems. Look at verse number 10 of the chapter, and I'll give you their motivation. They were called thieves. Why did the thief come to the sheepfold? The thief came not but for to steal, to kill, and to do what, class? Destroy. All right? So Jesus is beginning to define things spiritually. Now you got to remember, there was a sheep. He was a blind man. And he needed help. And he was inside the fold, and the thieves and the robbers of the Pharisees, all they did was they wanted to kill him, and they wanted to maim him, and they wanted to get him out. They look, I'll give you an illustration. Look at verse number 34. Verse number 34, the last verse of that says, and they, of chapter 9, I'm sorry, John chapter 9, verse number 34, the Bible says, and they cast him out. Look at John chapter 10, verse number 3. The last words of that verse. And his own sheep by name, and he, what's that word, class? Leadeth. See, the thief and the robber cast him out. The true shepherd would never cast out a sheep. He leads the sheep. Who's the porter? The porter is the guy that opens the door and provides the access and presents the fold to the shepherd. The porter is the guy that stands there and says, you may enter in. Now, in Jesus' parable, he says the shepherd comes in and the porter opens the door. Who announced to the nation of Israel that the shepherd had arrived? John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is the porter. John the Baptist opens up the door and says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so Jesus is beginning to define all of this. And so Jesus comes into the nation of Israel properly credentialed. He had the proper access. By the way, Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. Born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, born in the fullness of time. Called the Son of God. He's the right person. He's at the right place at the right time, right country, right sign. Everything about Jesus Christ is righteous. And Jesus Christ had full credential and authority to enter the door of the nation of Israel as the shepherd. And boy, when he came in teaching, and the sheep heard his voice. Never man spake like this man. This man has power and authority. The scribes never taught like this man. Who is this man? They called Jesus. And the sheep begin to hear his voice. And as soon as the blind man heard his voice, he followed after him. But the thieves and the robbers, the Pharisees, they were stealing and they were trying to kill the sheep. And they were trying to get them so that they could not come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus now is telling them this parable how he has come into the nation of Israel and he is ready to lead them out of what? Out of all of their dead religion, all that the law had developed into. Now the shepherd was on the scene. He was amassing his sheep and he was ready to redeem them. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. About to have a heart attack. Okay. So the Pharisees are saying, what's he mean by Why is he telling us the sheep and the shepherd and the sheepfold? Jesus is just exposing them for the thievery and the murder and the hatred they are. And he's exalting himself as the rightful heir to enter into the fold. And so after all of that, and they don't understand what's going on, Jesus picks up in verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse number 9, I am the door. What symbolism, what truth, what grace, what opportunity, what salvation was all in the door. See, remember the sheepfold. They had this little narrow passageway, and the shepherd would sleep inside that. And the shepherd acted as the door. And anything that wanted to come in or go out had to come through the shepherd. Now, there's some great things about a door that you will see in the beauty of the Lord for this moment. Well, Pastor, this whole thing's about the nation of Israel. Okay, if that's true, come down here to verse number 16. Come on, come to 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Let me ask you a question. If you're one of those sheep, would you raise your hand? If you're a Gentile and you're saved, you're one of those sheep. So it's not just about Jew and Gentile, or Jews now. Now he brings in the Gentile here. And Jesus is referring to the door. Some things came about the door that I was thinking about that I think will be a blessing. You know, when you see a door, you always wonder what's behind the door. We think about a door as going in the door, going through the door, come in. But in this context, Jesus is the door. Now look at verse number 3. That enables them to be led which direction, class? Out. So if one of our men stood up and said, we've got an emergency and the building is on fire. Do not do this. Nobody in here had, pastor's not doing a joke. If you stand up and say a fire, we're going to arrest you and you're going to feel the fire, okay? But if we had some kind of emergency, the first thing we would look for is a door out. 25 of my teenagers a few years ago went into the canal in a bus. There was an accident. They went in the canal at Glades Road. When you're coming south on the turnpike where Glades Road's flattened out, a car hit us, put them in the bus. We got 22 out. 3 boys drowned that night. The first thing the kids told us was we went for the door, but it was locked and jammed and we couldn't get out. When panic hits, the first thing people do is look for a door. You get on an airplane. The first thing they do on the airplane is they let you know where the exit doors are, like that's going to really help. But they at least let you know where they pull out the cushion from under your seat and you can use it as a floating device. Okay, there may be incidents, but I always think, yeah, right. Doors are important. We always think that we're going to be going in the door, but in this illustration, Jesus says, I'm the way out. Think what he's telling them. They're so confined in a prison of Judaism. All these lay people, all of the nation of Israel, and the thieves and the robbers have put all of this regulation and all of this self-righteous rule and all of this hope in themselves and the formalism and the ritualism of Judaism. And Jesus shows up and announces to the fold, if you want to get out of that, come through me, I'm the door. By the way, he's still the door to our salvation today. My friend, if you want it out of your sin, you want out of your slavery, you want out of your attraction or your addiction, you want out of your guilt, you want out of that life that you're in, you want out of that lostness, out of that hopelessness, free from that condemnation. If you want out of that, then you come through the door of Jesus Christ, my friend, because he's the only way to salvation. Amen. Great illustration. Remember the nation of Israel? They're in Egypt. And God promised them the promised land. So God sends Moses and he sends the Ten Commandments and the ten plagues. And eventually Pharaoh lets them go. And God had to bring the nation of Israel out of Egypt to bring them in to the promised land. And Jesus says, if you will come by me, if you will come to me as the door, I will bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'll bring you out of death into eternal life. I'll bring you out of the sin and the shame into the cleansing power. If you let me, I'll take you out and bring you in. And my friend, let me tell you, that's the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. There's one door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? Hey, that's pretty good. Pastor, can Jesus help me today? My friend, he is the only door out of all of your problem, out of all of your sin, out of all of your trouble. He is the only door that leads to eternal life. He's the way out. I think of doors, and I think there's different sizes of doors. We got different sizes in here. You got a single door. You got a double door. You got 36-inch doors. You got 32-inch doors. You got 24-inch doors. Some of you have sliding doors at your house. Some of you have pocket doors. Some of you have French doors. Some of you have bifold doors. We have trap doors. No, we don't have trap doors. But you have all kinds of doors. You got car doors. You got home doors. You got plane doors. You got cupboard doors. You got all kinds of doors. And doors come in all sizes. But let me tell you something about the door of Jesus Christ. He's a narrow door. If you're going to come through the door of Jesus Christ for salvation, there's only enough room for you and faith. That's it. I don't care. You can take your backpack of Christian heritage. Okay, my dad and mom are Christians. I grew up a Christian. I've always been a Christian. Nobody's always been a Christian. I've always gone to church. So I get all that in my backpack. You can pick up your briefcase full of money that you've given to the church for your whole life. And then you can get your two rowing suitcases full of good deeds. And you can try to make your way to the door. I promise you, when you get to the door, there will not be room for you in your baggage. Be no room. That Jesus isn't wide enough for your baggage. He's narrow enough for our faith. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you got to lay down your baggage of denominationalism. Lay down your backpack of Christian heritage. You've got to set aside all of your giving that you were counting on. You've got to let go of those suitcases of good works. And you simply come to Jesus Christ as a sinner by faith. And he is the door that is fit perfect for that. And my friend, when you come in that way, you find eternal life in him. I think there's many of people and you're banging on the door trying to get all of your goodness through the door and you wonder why you're so miserable. You can't get it through. Because if you're going to find true salvation, you got to let go of that and just simply say, Lord, I believe. Oh, that's so good. That's great preaching. A couple things about a door and I'm hurrying. A door to be any good has to be able to open. Has to be able to open. Listen to me. Jesus was telling them the door's open. The door of salvation, my friend, is open to you now. It won't always be open to you. There will be a day when the door of salvation for us will be closed. The Bible says when the rapture takes place that nobody that heard the gospel prior to the rapture will be able to be saved. That means if you're in this room and you think, well, I'll get saved one day. No, the Bible says today's the day of salvation. That door will not always be open. It's open now. It's open to anyone that wants to come in. Any woman, any man, any sinner, any sin, any guilt, anything at all, the door is open. God is not a respecter of persons, but there'll be a day that door will lock. There'll be a day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen, you better come to Jesus while the door is still open. Not only does it open and provide access, there's a transition. Doors transition. They take you from room to room. I tell my kids, get out of my room. So they transition. Do you have to tell your kids to get out of your room? Will I grow out of that? Will somebody that has older kids tell me, do they actually get out of your room one day? Good Lord, why? They're in my room. I got three girls in my room all doing their toenails. I'm trying to watch the football game. You know how hard it is to watch a football game with nail polish remover? Get out of my room. I'm tired. I want to go to bed. My son's laying in my bed. My son has my pajamas on. Tommy, those are mine. I know, Dad, they're really comfortable. Son, give me my pajamas, man. A transition. Oh, the greatest transition of my life was when I went through the door of Jesus. Because I got brought out of a life of sin and neglect and regret and guilt. And I got transitioned into the most marvelous life there is in the Lord Jesus. Look at verse number 9. I love this. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It talks about the freedom we have in Christ and find pasture. Pastor, I'm sick of my life. Do you know Jesus? Pastor, there has to be something more. I made a phone call to a guy. I got a phone call from a friend of mine. He said, Tom, what are you doing? I said, why? What do you want? He said, I got a friend I went to school with, and he's got a gun, and he's going to kill himself. He said, I've done all I can do. I asked him if he would wait a minute or two and let a preacher call him. Will you call him? Well, what are you going to say? Of course, I'll call him. So I picked up the phone. He may be here today. I don't even know if he's here today. And I called him. And I said, my name's Tom Hunter. I'm the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church. So-and-so referred me to you, and I said, I'm here to call you to tell you that what you think life is now isn't the way life has to be. I said, I don't know what's hurting you so bad that you want to take your life, but I know the one who can give you life. And I said, the last thing you want to do is blow yourself straight to hell. Are you married? No, I'm divorced. You got a kid? Yes, I do. Then why would you kill yourself and put that on your boy? That boy needs a dad. I'm a horrible dad. Well, we're all horrible dads until we know Jesus. But you don't have to be. Don't kill yourself. I want you to know that whatever life you have now, Jesus can bring to you life abundantly. Life abundantly. See, doors transition us from room to room to room. And when you go through the door of Jesus Christ, my friend, oh, what a transition. And then the last thing, and I hurry to a close, doors are security. Man, I'm learning a lot about doors building this building thing. I'm learning about how to walk with God, too. I'm also learning why people go nuts. So the fire department shows up. Pastor, you got to have a fire door. What's a fire door? Fire door is a door that can be closed and a fire won't burn through it for 1 hour. Okay, but here you got to have a 3-hour door. Well, and then you got to have this hour door. And I'm learning about fire doors. And so they're making us put fire doors in. If the building catches on fire, then we're supposed to be that, even though that door looks like it would burn in a minute, it's supposed to burn for an hour. Those doors are supposed to burn for an hour. So if there's a fire outside of this room, we're supposed to be safe in those doors for 1 hour. I'm not going to trust that. You stick around, let me know if it works out. I plan on leaving. Doors. But I know this about doors. Doors provide security. I check the doors every night before I go to sleep in my house. If it was up, now I love my wife and she's over there and I'm going to pay for this dearly, I know. So somebody needs to invite me to lunch, okay? If it was up to her to check the doors, people could come in and rob and kill us and do whatever they wanted. Never do they check the doors. So I get up and I check all doors. I check the front door, check Maddie's door, check the back door, check all, look outside the door, check my car doors, make sure I check all the doors before I go to bed. Why? Because I want to be secured and I want to make sure that nobody comes in and hurts us. And so doors provide security. You probably do the same thing. Look at verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now listen to me. When you go through the door of Jesus Christ by faith and you're saved, you come into his fold. And the same way Jesus gave that illustration of that earthly pen with the door, and the shepherd is sleeping inside the door, sleeping in there as the door, protecting from the outside and not letting anything escape from the inside in innocency to get hurt and no intent coming in. That's what Jesus does to us. See, once you come in Him, He becomes our security. Now, let me tell you something. A couple of things the church needs to be reminded about being secured. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ and He cleanses you and He forgives you, He forgives you all your sin. So none of my sin can ever come back and hold me in contempt. I am cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I have eternal life. No matter what sin I've ever done, Calvary covers it all. I nailed it to the cross, and I have found redemption from that. You might be here and you say, Pastor, I'm afraid that because I sin, I'm going to lose the salvation I have in Christ. Let me tell you something. There's not a sin that can penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. When it's blotted out, it's blotted out. But then I'm also in the fold of the Lord. Now look at verse number 9. He said, you'll be able to go in and out. That's a safe, safe sheep. The sheep that could go in and out was one that was secure. And so as I'm inside the Lord Jesus, I know His security. Man, we live in such an insecure world. And we're not only insecure from physical danger, but we get insecure from our bills. We get insecure from our family problems. We get insecure from our needs. And I want you to understand that if you know Jesus Christ, you're His child. He's the good shepherd. I'm in His church. I belong to Him. I have Jesus for everything. And I'm secure in Him. Oh, sheep love the shepherd. Shepherd carries the big stick. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've had to go to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I've got this great need. It's bigger than me. I need you to take care of it. And the shepherd cares for me. And God's people said, Amen. He's the door, man. And He is still available. He's the way out of your sin. He is open unto you. He allows you to transition in your life, and He secures you. And Jesus stood there and announced to the people, I'm the door. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the old blind man of chapter number 9 was glad Jesus is the door? That's what He's telling the Pharisees. You cast them out. I love them. I lead them. You want to murder them, and I'll take them, and I'll lead them. And I'll be the good shepherd. You think this message was great? You come back next week for the good shepherd. I can hardly wait to preach that one. Let's pray, and we'll have our invitation.